Well, we're glad that you can join us again for the Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church. And I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and with me in the studio is Brother Jim Seeger. And Jim, glad to have you with us this morning.
Good to be here.
You got quite a story. You and your wife, Joan, have learned some very important lessons about the Lord. And of course, that's what we've been doing a lot on our radio broadcast, just sharing who God is and how God shows himself to be strong on our behalf. Just to share with us what you're learning about God, what you've learned about the Lord in your own family situation.
I'd be glad to. I think I have to go back a little bit and just start about 3.5 years ago. We got up early in the morning and things were not right. Turns out that my wife had suffered, or was in the process of suffering, a severe stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And by that afternoon, she was having emergency surgery. By that evening, we didn't know whether she would live or not.
Okay.
That began a 2-month hiatus, I guess, of all different kinds of things that led me to understand this, that God is, good, and that God is in control of everything, even when our minds and our limited understanding can't really grasp it.
Right.
And I thought, you know, although we know these things, that these are truths, and we are taught these through our faith by the hearing of the Word of God, we can also, I think, through the experiences of the trials we travel through, observe them to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that some people listening to this might think, well, no, I think that's just maybe some happy circumstances that you luckily experienced.
That God doesn't have a thing to do with it.
Right, that he is just, you know, maybe an interested bystander if he is at all.
Okay.
And the thing that's a problem for me with that thought is that the number of issues that happened in those 2 months.
Right.
And their intricacies and how they interplayed with each other, it really strains the credibility of somebody thinking that thought.
Mm-hmm.
And although some were recognized in hindsight after we went through them, others were recognized instantly, and I'd like to share some of that.
I'd be glad to hear them.
We learned that the type of stroke Joan suffered is one that many, if not most, who suffer it in their sleep never wake up from.
Never wake up.
Never wake up. Wow. And how is this important? Well, we're both retired, and at that point in our life, 3.5 years ago, we were enjoying retirement, and we were sleeping in.
Sure.
And that was our habit. But on that day, we had an appointment and we had to get up and become active. And more importantly, it gave us an opportunity to notice the symptoms that Joan was beginning to have.
Because if you were just sleeping in, you wouldn't have noticed it in time.
She may never have woken up.
Exactly.
Right. Now, this was the first time in many, many things that went on where we believed that the hand of God was upon our lives and the circumstances of our lives.
All right.
Well, after this, we called 911. Joan was transported to the hospital. And you know, you always get that idea that, well, once I'm in the hospital, I'm good to go. The caregivers are there and nothing to worry about. Well, it didn't quite work out that way. When we got there, they were initially treating her for, well, when your inner ear goes off and you're kind of...
Equilibrium.
They gave her a pill, and they said, well, if this doesn't work in 20 minutes, we know it's not this problem.
Okay.
Well, it didn't work. But fortunately, they were doing a number of diagnostics within that 20 minutes and a little bit later.
Yeah.
And those diagnostics showed what type of stroke she had, but more importantly, that it was a stroke that that hospital could not treat.
Oh, okay.
She is then transported to Frederick, and later we learned that that location was one of two or three in the entire state that had the capability of treating this condition.
Sure.
And you might say, well, so what? Well, in our retirement, we had considered relocating.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, had that
may have been some distance away from that kind of a hospital.
Right. If we
right,
would
exactly.
have located anywhere else, up north Wisconsin, maybe someplace down south or whatever, we may have relocated into an area where Joan would have suffered this.
Right.
We'd have went to a local hospital and they would have said, we can't do anything for you, and she would not have survived.
Again, the hand of God.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
And as I thought about it, that wasn't God's plan.
Right.
Now, the availability of surgeons and the capabilities that they had that we were given to didn't guarantee her survival.
Hmm.
It simply placed her in the hand of God,
right,
in my view. And we started to pray for Joan right away that day, praying that he would allow her to live.
Mm-hmm.
And this prayer was raised up, and he answered it, and she lived. She's sitting here at this table.
She's sitting here smiling at us right now.
Now, that was God's plan.
Yes, exactly.
Yet the trial continued, and kind of valleys within valleys during this period of time. The amount of damage that Joan had suffered following the first stroke was really unknown, because it was followed quickly the very next day with a second surgery. And the surgeon after that second surgery made this observation. He said, you know, if that had to happen, it could not have been planned any better. It was a puzzling statement, but he went on to clarify, and he said that the morning following the first surgery, Joan was taken to a scan to determine the damage that had been done. But unknown to all of us at that time, the clot that was removed the day before was already reforming, and it was beginning to block completely the artery to her brain.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, you might say, well, yeah, I've done some studying, and I know there's two arteries to the brain. Well, in Joan's case, she really only had one, because the other artery was congenitally very small and only a trickle of blood was getting through there.
Oh, okay.
So she was living primarily on one artery all mm-hmm. this time, and we mm-hmm. didn't know it. And now that this was reclotting,
right,
her life was again in the balance.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, as she was going down to this room where she had the first surgery, she went comatose right out in front of another procedure room that had been already scheduled for use that day.
Okay, so everything was in preparation right there in that room.
But not for Joan.
Oh, exactly, right.
It was for somebody who had decided they wanted an elective surgery.
Elective surgery.
But that wasn't God's plan.
No. God had elected her to have surgery.
In that room.
In that room, exactly. Right.
And so that person had backed out at the last moment, so the room was prepared, and within minutes of her becoming comatose, she was having surgery.
And, you know, to be able to see the hand of God in the timing, this is just an amazing thing, you know, to know that our times are in God's hands.
Right, right.
Every minute moment. Detail. Yeah. Exactly.
And so she was in that room, and we had, actually my sons and I were down there, and we were looking for Joan, because they had told us that this procedure, or this scan that they were going to take, would only last about 20 minutes. So we went down, had a cup of coffee, came back up to the ICU floor, and we said, well, where's Joan? They didn't really know at this time. They didn't know because it happened so quickly.
Sure, yeah.
The communication was kind of interrupted.
Right.
But later she was found. One of the things I think that I remember about that second surgery is that we started to pray again very earnestly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this time, if you recall, the first time was just that she survived.
Right.
And she did. But this time, because the second surgery was done, they had to put what's called a stent in there.
Mm-hmm. To keep it from blood clots happening again.
Right. Well, actually, to keep it open correctly. But because she wasn't on blood thinners, they had to introduce massive doses of blood thinners.
Mm.
And they're very concerned because that would or possibly could cause a bleed in the
brain. Right, right. Okay.
So our prayer was now that God would, in his goodwill, keep that bleed, if it had to occur, in the areas of the stroke in her brain.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it was in her brain stem,
okay,
which I'll talk about in a minute. But just to the areas that had already been damaged.
Okay.
Because those areas were gone.
Mm-hmm.
There's no getting mm-hmm. those areas back.
Couldn't hurt them again.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that was our prayer. And a couple of days later, there was a CAT scan done, and we found out that that prayer was answered, that the blood had gotten into those areas that had been damaged by the stroke, but it didn't migrate into the other areas of the brain.
The undamaged areas.
Damaged areas.
Right.
And I think just to let folks know that, you know a lot of people that have strokes. Joan's stroke was unique in the sense that it occurred in her brainstem. Your brainstem is about the size of your thumb. She had two areas of stroke in the brainstem. And as the clots broke off the second time, they spewed out multiple clots that traveled up through and into her brain, causing multiple strokes throughout the brain.
Mm.
So in any event, she woke up, and that was God's plan.
Right, right.
But she woke up a quadriplegic. She could not move her arms or her legs. She couldn't open her eyes. She couldn't speak. She had a breathing tube down. She could hear and she could see, but she could see only when I would open her eyelids manually.
Okay.
And she could hear what we were asking her, but because she could not respond, we communicated for maybe 3 weeks or so with her thumbs, which she could move.
She could move her thumbs.
Thumbs up for yes, mm-hmm. No movement of the thumb for no.
Okay.
And about a week after her initial two surgeries, she had a tracheotomy because mm-hmm. this kind of stroke affects the breathing.
Okay.
And she had a abdominal feeding tube put in to replace the IV feeding mm-hmm. tube that she had been on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now things started to progress, and she started to become a little bit stronger. She started to show movement, and she was taken then from the ICU and placed into the stroke ward. And there they started some limited therapy, and two people would come into the room, and they would get her sitting or try to sit. She couldn't sit on her own.
Right.
One on either side, and she was like a rag doll between the two of them.
Mm.
And as we see her sitting in that chair all by herself, mm-hmm. that is not the case today.
Right.
And in the stroke ward, it was determined that because of the severe nature of her stroke and where it was, that she would not be able to handle the more intense therapy that they offered at the
sure.
hospital.
Right.
So they said, we're going to send her to a nursing home.
Okay.
A nursing home where they will offer subacute care. And it was then that we were just about ready to go out to the nursing home when something extraordinary happened.
And that's going to have to wait till next time because our time is up. Something extraordinary happened. Well, wow. We've heard several extraordinary things that have happened during this period of time, and it's amazing to see the hand of God, because it is by His hand that we are led, and we can certainly praise the Lord for that. Well, Jim, you keep those thoughts right there in your mind, because the next time we want you to share that extraordinary story, because folks, you're listening to us this morning, let me tell you, you serve an extraordinary God. And if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, He is waiting for you to come to Him, because He'd love to do in your heart and life what He's done in Jim and Jones. Until the next time, we pray the Lord will bless you in a fantastic way.